The Father State is amazing. Subscribe now.
Like Natty going north, Natty going north. Running around like Natty going north. It's too amazing to see it, folks. Insane people screaming and yelling like Natty going north.
For the most part, most people in this room and most people listening on YouTube have to come to the realization, as sad as it is, that you have pissed, you have urinated, heretofore up until this morning, your entire life down a fucking shithole.
Welcome to The Father State. I'm Jesse Lee Peterson. Today we're going to talk a little business talk. I am a firm believer that if at all possible, you should be into your own business. And one thing that we're doing at Barn, my nonprofit organization, we have an entrepreneur academy, and we're teaching all men ages 15 and up how to start businesses. I have with me Dan Pena. He's a businessman, entrepreneur, and founder of Quantum Leap Advantage. Dan, thank you for coming.
It's my pleasure.
How would you describe yourself? What kind of person are you?
A guy that got tired of working for somebody else, and I ultimately went out on my own. From not too far from here, I'm from East LA, the barrio, and I've been in business 50 years this year. I've created hundreds of thousands of jobs and billions through my endeavors, through my mentees, through my devotees, and QLA stands for Quantum Leap Advantage. I'm a serial entrepreneur.
Did you just wake up one day and decided that you wanted to be an entrepreneur? Was that always in you to become one?
I wish that had been the case, but it wasn't. In 1966, I volunteered for the draft during the Vietnam era. And to make a long story short, fast forward, I became a young officer, and I'm in NATO headquarters. And I was in the officers' club, and there was everybody was drinking, and I asked, why is everybody drinking? He says, Dave just inherited $1,400,000. I didn't know what that was. So I said, could you write it on a napkin for me?
That's
and so
right.
I said, oh, but let's drink up, you know, I'm a young guy. And so later on that same month, I'm standing with some very senior officers, two of which were general officers. And they said, you know, Danny, a young man like you could probably get rich in the civilian world. A light bulb went off over my head. And I'd already served my obligation. And so 6-7 months later, I got out of the military, the army, and I came back, finished school, which is a requirement, finished school, and I've been on my own ever since. I was in my early 20s.
Yes. And so what type of business are you in? How did you become rich?
Well, I'm in everything from A to Z, really. But my claim to fame is I got wealthy in the oil business, oil and gas.
Oh, I see.
From the late 70s through the 80s through the early 90s. And more recently, I'm in everything from construction to internet to healthcare across the board.
So I know you live in Scotland right now. And so did you become rich before you moved to Scotland or while you're in the States?
No,
United States.
I got wealthy coincidentally as I moved to Europe in 1981. And because I wanted to raise my children in a different social economic milieu than I was raised. And so the same thing happened as a byproduct of me moving there and getting involved in the then, which was the new oil and gas business. Because if you remember history, Great Britain was going bankrupt, and they found oil in the North Sea. That tax money from the North Sea oil saved Britain from bankruptcy. And so I saw that opportunity, and so I went, and I've been more or less called an oil man ever since.
From my understanding only, when you say you made wealth in the oil business, did you invest in the oil or you owned the oil well?
We were in every aspect of the oil business except for selling through gas stations. We explored for it. We drilled for it. We moved it in trucks. We moved it by pipeline. We drilled offshore in the Gulf of Mexico. We drilled offshore in the North Sea. We drilled onshore here in the continental United States and in South America. We were also in the refining business.
Are you a religious man?
Yes.
And are you a Christian?
Well, if you call Roman Catholics Christian, yes.
Oh, you're a Catholic?
Yes.
And why did you become a Catholic rather than a normal Christian?
I was raised a Catholic in East LA, right near here. I was baptized and confirmed not too far from here. The nuns and the priests did a good job on me.
I heard. The nuns are interesting people. Did you grow up poor?
Yep.
Poor.
My dad was a cop. He made $142 a month. LAPD cop.
$142
a month.
That's amazing. You have brothers and sisters?
Yes, I have two younger brothers.
And so with that little money, he was able to provide for the whole family?
Well, no, he had two extra jobs. It took him three jobs to put food on the table.
Yeah, they did that at that time. Your tough father, was he a tough guy?
He invented tough love.
And what is tough love?
He set standards that if I didn't uphold to them, I got a beating. And I got a lot of beatings.
Do you appreciate that now?
I with all my heart, and I told him 1,000 times up until he died, passed away in 91, that thank you for the discipline.
Yeah. And were you closer to your father or mother?
Towards the end of his life, closer to him. But growing up, I was closer to my mom.
And that was because he was at work all the time?
Correct.
Yeah. I, in those days, because I grew up in Alabama on a plantation under the Jim Crow laws, in those days, your parents would whoop you if you didn't do the right thing. And I didn't know how much I appreciated it until I became an adult and started doing my own thing. Today, parents don't do that. For the most part, they spoil their kids. They don't
Correct.
Teach them to work. They don't teach them to... They don't bring out that nature that's in them while they're growing up and the kids are suffering for it. Why do you think parents are like that today?
Because I'm a lot older, but today the kids don't do what you tell them to do. They do what they see you do. And if the parents of today's generation had poor role models or no role models, then they don't know how to be a parent.
Yeah.
And so now they're bringing up a generation of kids that they don't know how to be a parent.
That's right.
And there's got to be discipline. You got to set standards. It's like the I tell the story and people get shocked when I say, I used to run out in the street when I was a little guy all the time, run out in the street. So my dad decided, and we had an old Willys that, you know, had a sideboard where you stood on, you know, open the door and there's a sideboard you get on.
Oh, yeah.
And so he decided that if he would knock me with old Willys off my bike, gently, that I remember not to go in the damn street anymore. The challenge was that we had a piece of chrome that was sticking out of the floorboard, and it gouged me under my kneecap, went through my knee, outside this of my knee, so he drugged me for about 30, 40 feet.
Amazing.
Screaming and yelling, but I never walked in the street again.
Today, though, the parents have a difficult time, too, because the government has stepped in and they have all these laws where you can't correct your kids, you can't spank them, you can't yell at them. And then if you do, the kids report the parent to the social worker or to the teacher. The parents lose their kids. How do they get around that?
When I went to high school, I mean, the teachers could hit you.
Right.
And there was normally one enforcer, who was vice president. They didn't call him VP of enforcement, but that's what he was. But today, I mean, the kids now, you can divorce your parents now,
yep.
You know, which is quite remarkable. I when I talk to kids and they say they've never been yelled at, they've never been spanked, they've never been in a schoolyard fight,
yep.
Okay? They've never stood up for themselves, okay? And now they have safe space where they
right.
can, there is no safe space in life.
That's right, absolutely.
He's so ashamed of being a snowflake, what his parents produced. A cunt! And most of you are. They say your girlfriend's got a big fucking fat ass, asshole. What do you do? 95% of you said nothing. What if somebody spit on your wife or girlfriend? 75% of you said nothing. What the fuck? I mean, what happened to your fucking nuts?
So how do parents get around all those rules?
Well, I mean, with great difficulty. And, you know, I'm not suggesting the parents should break the law, but I'm suggesting that the parents have to hold the kids accountable.
Yeah.
And spanking is good.
Yeah.
I mean, now if they get grounded, they think it's like they went to San Quentin prison or something.
That's right. You're married. How long have you been married?
Decades.
50 years or
yeah.
so?
No.
20 years?
Yeah, 20
years. Oh, 20 years. And why did you marry this particular woman?
This particular woman was a financial professional. She's a chartered accountant. She's English, which is like a CPA in this country. She was disciplined. and her parents trained her or raised her with a lot of discipline. They used to whack her with a wooden spoon, and she understood that. And she and myself both treat our children that way. And now we have grandchildren, and we treat them with the same discipline. And discipline is never easy to make a hard decision. It's never easy to tell a 5, 7, 8, 9, 11-year-old when they got tears running down their cheeks. But if you don't do it, just fast forward 20, 30 years, yep. And you're going to have a problem.
Absolutely. At the time when you were growing up and you were, your father would whoop you or whatever he did you think he would be violent to you?
No, not at all.
I didn't think that either.
No.
And that's amazing.
The strange thing about it is that the stories, which are all true, normally parents say, I didn't know, you don't know what you don't know, and I did the best they could.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the excuse they use. Well, if the parents didn't get whooped, well, then they don't understand the effect it would have had, a positive effect on them, therefore they're hesitant to do it to their kids.
Yeah.
But my father disciplined our children when they were small, if I wasn't around. You know, if I'm going to do this, your dad should be doing it, but he's not here, so I'm going to give you a spanking.
Those were the good old days.
Correct.
You talk about the parents being messed up. I mean, the children being messed up by their parents. I watched a couple of your videos, and I saw you say that. Explain to us what you mean by the children being messed up by the parents.
Okay, well, the kids today are messed up because there's been a lack of discipline and there's a lack of accountability. Political correctness, in my judgment, is a manifestation of a lack of self-esteem. I mean, it's tough to find anybody with any self-esteem anymore.
Sure.
So if the kids see their parents don't have self-esteem, and the kids see their grandparents with little or no self-esteem, I mean, it's obvious, it's self-confidence, it hasn't been part of their nurturing. And you're not born leaders, you're made leaders through nurturing. So love by itself doesn't get the job done.
That's right.
Tough love and leadership. Kids don't lack, they're not programmed for success. Kids don't lack enthusiasm. What they lack is leadership. And the kids that follow me, rightly or wrongly, I'm the alpha male father they never had.
Yeah.
And of course now there's a lot of single parents, moms without dads. And that's
just
made
worse.
The problem worse.
Yeah. A lot of men are beta males today. They're not alpha males. And a lot of folks are on antidepressant medication. They're taking some type of drugs to deal with life or to feel better. When I was growing up, that was not even heard of.
Correct.
What is a man?
A man is, he says what he does and he does what he says. Yeah. Okay. He's not looking for a convenient truth. When your buddy gets has a problem, you know, well, it's not convenient right now. Call me back in 2 days.
That's
you
right.
Know? Okay, but today that's what they do.
They do.
Because everybody's concerned that we've got a generation and a half of kids that want to fit in, okay? And you can't raise a kid wanting to fit in.
Yeah.
And my father certainly knew that.
That's right.
And he had served two wars, World War II and the Korean War. And he just, so I saw him volunteer for those wars. So I volunteered in 66 when I was 20 years
amazing.
Old. And just, you know, I thought, well, it must be the right thing to do. Of course, now the world's a different place.
It is. Are you the head of your wife?
The head. You mean, am I the boss?
Yes.
No.
You're not the boss. Is she your boss?
No.
And who is the boss?
I don't think we ever asked each other, but I may be slightly more boss than she is, but she does. She's in a very supportive role. She's a professional,
yeah.
And she assists me in the various businesses I'm involved in because she is an accountant, a financial professional. But we've never had that discussion or that argument or that whatever you call it.
Does she listen to you?
Yeah.
Oh, good. And this is your first marriage?
Yeah. No, second.
Second. Why did the first one fail?
My first wife thought that I should retire.
Oh.
A long time ago. And that's not going to happen.
And your kids are close to you?
No. I wouldn't say they're not like a father knows best close.
Why not?
My kids respect me. I'm not looking for their love. I'm looking for their respect and for me to be able to guide them so they're successful. And so I'm not a gushy, huggy, kissy kind of father.
Yeah.
Just as my father wasn't that.
Mine either. I didn't grow up like that.
Yeah.
I think men who do that kind of stuff are women. They're beta males.
Yeah. There's certainly, most of them are beta males now.
Yeah, a beta male. How would you define an alpha male?
An alpha male to me is stands up for what he believes in, no matter what the consequences.
Yes.
Now, I'm not talking about robbing banks and
right.
stuff like that. Okay?
Right, doing the right thing.
You know, and saying things that are not politically correct, but being all you can be and showing that to your kids, showing that male role model to your grandchildren, and not just to them, but to whoever listens. My demographics in the last 15 years have gone from 35 to 55. Now my demographics, 70%, is 15 to 35, because a lot of kids follow me on YouTube and on the net because I stand for something. And kids can figure out what's bullshit now.
They can.
Know, yeah,
they know. The real deal
now, when you and I were growing up, our parents said crap. We just listened, yeah. Kept our head down.
Sure did.
We certainly weren't going to challenge them.
That's right.
And God forbid, you know, I'm not going to tell them that you're full of crap. But now the kids go online, and Dad and Mom are wrong about this. And then they go on a blog, and then they go on this and that, and they have no respect.
Yes.
What's lacking today in youth is respect. But if the adults don't demand respect, they're not going to get it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I have to say, this is my first time meeting you. And so when my producer told me that you were coming on, I had to look you up on the internet, learn about you. Several things that I thought were very interesting. You have like what some would consider a mean, demanding personality. And so
All that's true.
And a lot of weak people would be afraid of you,
correct.
Men and women. Is that a real personality? How did you develop it?
When I wake up in the morning and brush my teeth, and when I go to sleep at night and I brush my teeth, I fall asleep saying my prayers every night.
Yes.
Okay? I'm exactly the same, 24/7, 365. What you see is what you get. But I find that toughness works. Having high standards, setting the bar high. We're going to the Olympics, and we're not just going to the Olympics. We're going to go win a medal.
Yeah.
And I run every single day. That way, and all the organizations I'm part of, I have a lecture series now. I go around to universities where I speak for free. I just spoke at the U.S. Naval Academy a few weeks ago,
okay.
And it's called Wealth, Risk, Reward, Not, which means the system, not just the wealth system, is broken, but the father-son, the father-wife, the father-child system is busted.
Yes.
It's just broken down.
And so are you tough with your wife, too?
Yes. I keep her to high standards. But, I mean, Jim Ryan, perhaps the greatest runner to ever win a gold medal in the Olympics, told me almost 50 years ago, motivation gets you started, Danny, but good habits keep you going.
Yeah.
My wife and I have extraordinary habits. I haven't had to work in 35 years, yet I still work 70, 75 hours a week.
Amazing. So when you first met her, your wife, you were like this.
Correct.
And so you would go on a date with her. You were so demanding and tough and wasn't that little beta male kind of. Did she accept that right away or she like?
Well, no, but I don't know if there are such thing as alpha females, but I mean, but she's certainly at that end of the continuum.
Yeah.
She's tough, but she was raised in a little caravan, like a little small mobile home park, poor. You know, four people in a mobile home, not as big as this stage.
Yeah.
She's been working since she's, I've been working since I'm 10, 11. She's been working since she's 11 or 12. We both had to save our money to buy stuff,
yeah.
to buy clothes, et cetera. And now the kids, you know, max out their parents' credit cards.
They do.
It's unbelievable.
It's amazing.
Me. Yeah.
I noticed on your video, you know, when you're training, or you were talking about it, you're like cursing and yelling.
Yep.
And you choke people,
In the last 10 or 15 years,
I stopped choking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But yesterday I was being interviewed in Vancouver for Vancouver television by one of my mentees who's extremely successful. And he said, when I came through the training in the early 2000s, you hit us and choked us. And I'm on camera, I go, Yeah, I remember that, Dan. His name's Dan as well. And but I did, but that works. I treat you like a boot camp. I mean, a real boot camp. When I went in the Army over 50 years ago, they beat you.
Yeah.
You know, if you didn't learn.
The Army used to be tough.
Yeah, well, yeah. And now, I mean, now I'm not saying that they're wusses, but the they're not as tough. I say, unfortunately, the Romans had their day, the Athenians had their day, and we've had our day.
Yeah.
We're through. You don't need friends. Friends are problems. Friends are for you to share your misery with. And remember, you're not sharing misery anymore. So when you go home and you have a hard day, everything's terrific, honey. Why do you think they don't have more confidence in you? Because they've seen you whine like a bitch. Maybe in the movies, you know, when the guy puts his head on his wife's chest, it's crying. Maybe in the movies that works. But in real life, all they do is have disdain for you. Disgust. That turns to hatred.
I saw this one video where you were giving a seminar and this one woman got up to ask a question or something. She was acting all like she had
Oh, global sense. Warming.
Yeah, something like that. You're like, get the out of here. You rear her to riot act.
Correct.
And men are not able to do that today. They are afraid to.
But, you know, it's just a touch on climate change. There's been 11 scientific groups to go to both the North and South Pole in the last 120 years. 10 of them are dead. My wife and I are the 11th. We're the only ones alive today that have both been on scientific expeditions to the North and South Pole. And here you hear all these talking heads on television talking crap.
What I want to ask is that when you were doing the choking and grabbing, just getting in people's face, what type of people would allow you to do that and why would you do that?
Well, first of all, when you come to my seminar, I live in a 15th century storybook castle from East L.A.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that.
Okay, well, and you already know. And you sign a disclaimer. You sign all kinds of paperwork. You know, now we have boxing at the seminar.
Oh, yeah?
We just instituted in the last year.
That's amazing.
Because some people have never been in a schoolyard fight. Some of the kids have never been punched in the face.
Yes.
And but that's what we're lacking. I mean, one of the PhD scientists that was there a few months ago who got smacked in the face by another guy, and he said, I wasn't so bad. Of course, like the youngest heavyweight, the guy got in all the trouble.
Tyson.
He says, everybody's got a plan until I punch him in the face, okay?
That's
and,
right.
And unless you've been in a schoolyard fight, you understand that everybody's got a plan.
That's right.
But the people that come to me have tried everything. They've tried meditation. They've tried drugs. They've tried all the other personal development gurus. They've tried the few financial gurus like myself, and it hasn't worked. Tough love works, and I make people accountable, and they like the results. I've created over $50 billion through kids in my 25-year career of coaching.
And so men and women, especially men who allow that, you did that and still do it somewhat, because they need to be made to be tough?
Correct.
Oh, I see.
They need to understand that toughness isn't bad. They're not going to die from being tough. They're not going to die from holding their grandson accountable. They're not going
to... that's right.
Then you're not going to go to hell, you know, for holding people accountable. Now there's no accountability.
That's right. And so they agree at the door of your seminar. They agree.
They sign.
I'm signing this contract. You can keep my butt. You can cut.
Well, now we don't hit them anymore.
Why you stop hitting them?
Because now I'd be in court all the time. I'd be in court. Even when they sign the paper, they'll say, Dan drugged me. I didn't know what I was signing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yep.
And so are you as successful now that you can't touch them than you were?
Oh, yeah. We're more successful now, only because now we have tens of thousands of examples of kids that have been extremely successful, all creeds, races, colors, from all over the world that have been super successful. But 99.9%, first of all, I give it, other than that seminar, all my products free.
And why is that?
Because I want to take the last excuse from the man or the woman or the child, I didn't know how to create wealth. I didn't know how to do this. Nobody ever taught me. So several years ago, we decided just to give it away free, 16 gigs of free material. And so we have many, many people that have created tens of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars I never met. 99.9% of the people that have utilized the methodology, I've never met.
Yeah.
It's only the people that have come to the
seminar, yeah,
to the castle, and I've more or less laid hands on them, not in a religious sense, but laid hands on them.
That's right. And so I saw where you were talking to one young man who were upset. He was like, "You were in my face, and you were yelling at us, and you were doing this." You told him to shut up and get out of here.
Correct.
Take it away, ref. Keep swinging. Boom, 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 hell, down.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
Amazing.
That is amazing.
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 Isn't that amazing?
That's amazing.
Do you feel tough?
I am tough.
Are you an emotional person?
Yeah, I guess you'd say that, yeah. And I cry.
You cry? What do you cry about?
I cry John Wayne movies. You know?
Do you?
I do.
And do you cry about if you broke up with a girlfriend?
No.
Would you cry over that?
No.
Why not?
Not even close.
Really? Have you ever had a heartache?
Oh, yeah. Were my heart's broken?
Because you were broken
up. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you weren't.
My
cry.
First wife broke my heart.
Oh, she did?
Yeah.
What did that feel like?
I felt shitty. I mean, I can still feel it. Now that you mention it, I can still feel it.
I know guys who have not had a heartache yet, so they don't know what that feels like. I've been through that.
Oh, yeah, well.
Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah. Just made me think of something else. When I was growing up in East L.A., my dad used to say, the saying was, sticks and stones can break your bones, but words can never hurt you.
That's right.
That's okay.
That's right.
And now, words can hurt kids.
Yeah.
You have kids committing suicide because they're slammed on Facebook.
That's right.
Are
That's
you kidding
mind
me?
Blowing to me. I totally agree, man.
I mean, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Okay. And he used to say, don't start fights, but if you get in a fight, make sure you finish the fight.
Yeah.
Okay?
That's
and,
right.
And so, but I, and I got in a lot of trouble. You know, I got in a lot of fights. But the, but in East L.A., schoolyard fights were the name of the game.
Yeah.
I mean, and in South Central, when I was in high school, we had to play a day football game at Crenshaw because night football games were too dangerous.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
What year was this?
62, 63.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
And the kids at South Central, and it's a black school, and they used to tease us because, you know, we didn't come with armed guards in the buses, but they used to tease us. Why don't you guys come play football with us at nighttime?
Yeah. Why do you say most men are beta males today? How did that happen?
Because their fathers were beta males.
Yeah.
And it's like a couple. Tacit approval. Tacit approval is you and I are talking, and I know I don't agree with you, but I just sit and listen.
Right.
So then we go our separate ways, and then you tell somebody, you know, I talked to Dan, and he agrees. He agrees. You think he agrees because he didn't disagree.
That's right.
Okay? Or God forbid I should shake my head like this, and then by the time it gets five or six people separated, Dan Pena, the $50 billion man, agrees with what you had to say. Now, when you hear somebody talk crap, nobody says, that's crap.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? You know, what proof
that's
do you have?
That's right, man.
You're afraid to get in anybody's face. I don't mean physically in their face, but verbally in their face.
Yeah.
Now it's considered an affront. If you raise your voice, it's considered an affront if you should disagree. And the rest of the world laughs at us. I've lived in Europe 35 years now, and I've been all over the world, and they think that we're wusses.
Yeah.
And they're right.
They're right. Because of your personality, have you lost friends?
Probably. I didn't, you know. Show me your friends and I'll show you your future.
Yeah.
We're the average of the people that raised us the first 7 or 8 years. Self-esteem is built the first 7 or 8 years of life. Who are we around the first 7 or 8 years? A mom, maybe a dad if he's around, an older brother, a grandparent. They don't know how to train high-performance people.
Yeah.
And then we go and we find people that we feel comfortable with it within our comfort zone that are just like us.
Yeah.
We go find another wuss just like us. And so now we've got a generation and a half, arguably two generations, that only know wusses. And high-performance people don't have friends. I mean,
That's true, man.
They don't. Yeah.
Absolutely true. Okay, so I want to ask you this. Let's say a young man wants to become an entrepreneur. Are you born wanting that, or you develop that?
You develop it, and there are some good programs out there.
So let's say a young man wants to become an entrepreneur. And they come to you and they say, Dad, I would love to have my own business. I want to be an entrepreneur. What would be your first step
My first step is look at my website. It's all free, and we just developed last year a new course called QLA for Dummies. Not because they're dumb, but because there's so much material. What I tell the kids, a lot of kids want to save the world. Okay, I'm not a save the world kind of guy, but find a service or a product that changes a billion lives, i.e. Facebook, and I don't think that's such a great product, but anyway, changes a billion lives, and by definition, you can then take the money that you make off of that product and service and save the world. The kids today think that marching around an embassy with a placard is going to save the world.
Yeah.
That's going to do anything except put splinters in your hand from the sign.
Do you believe that most men should be entrepreneurs or just workers or entrepreneurs or just workers who invest?
It depends on your personality. Being an entrepreneur, you're taking risk.
Yeah.
You're taking emotional risk and not just financial risk. But if you want to be all you can be and you want to stretch the envelope, as they used to say, and get outside your comfort zone, there's nothing like being an entrepreneur. My definition of an entrepreneur is missing payroll. In other words, not being able to pay your payroll.
Yeah, once. I've been there.
Yeah, okay, so have I. And see how many employees stay there after you miss a payroll.
That's right. That's absolutely true. So anybody that really wanted to be an entrepreneur can be it. If they're willing to tough it through and stay with it and do what they need to be doing.
Don't give up.
Yeah.
As long as moral, ethical, and legal, don't give up.
Yeah.
You can't hit it. You can't get a base hit or hit it out of the park unless you swing at the plate.
That's right.
And you got to keep swinging.
How do you feel about workers who have jobs but they invest in real estate and other things?
That's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine. I mean, accumulate your cash and buy income property. What I don't believe in is for the average person, because they don't know what they're doing, is trading the market and Forex and futures and all that stuff, because most people don't understand it and they wind up losing their money, or commodities. If you're a sophisticated investor, that's one thing, but most of us aren't sophisticated.
Who do you think should be entrepreneurs, men or women?
Both.
Both.
Both can be.
Who is most driven to become an entrepreneur, a man or a woman?
Normally men.
Yeah.
Or single moms that don't have a dad at home, because we see a lot of that. A lot of single moms that don't have a dad at home are trying to supplement their income all over the world. I mean, not just here in the United States.
The way I became an entrepreneur is that it was in me already. When I was growing up, I used to always say I'm going to always have my own business. And then my father, who didn't raise me, my mother married my stepfather before I was born, but my father was an entrepreneur. He always had, even though he worked at a steel mill, he always had his own some type of business, motorcycle, cleaners. He became a contractor. And it seemed to have been passed on to me. Is that possible,
even though
I didn't live with him?
Yeah. I mean, if he had, what you're talking about is hardworking genes.
Yes.
Okay, if you've got those genes, then, absolutely. You can be not just work for a corporation or be a civil servant. All those are honorable professions. But, I mean, be an entrepreneur.
You live in a castle in Scotland.
Yes, sir.
What is it like? How big is it?
It's 55,000, more or less, 55,000 square feet of house on 156 acres. I built a nine-hole golf course about 20-plus years ago. So we have a nine-hole golf course.
Yeah.
And it's fully manicured. We live in the whole house. We have two gymnasiums. We have antiques. We have butlers that worked in the Buckingham Palace for the Queen. And
that's amazing.
I mean, it's and when the kids come there, we send them links how to use forks and knives, because they're still kids that are raised.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they don't even use forks and knives.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
absolutely.
And don't know how to do it. So it's a culture shock. And we make them wear suits. You have to wear suits during the whole seminar. And ladies wear whatever the equivalent of a suit is for business attire. It's a life-changing experience.
And the people who attend the seminar, do they stay at your castle too?
Yep, they stay. They sit on the
ground.
What
does it take to go to one of, from L.A. to one of your seminars? What would it take to go to that?
Well, yeah, you get on a list because there's a big waiting list. The seminars now are 7 days. You come on the first day and you leave on the seventh day. The seminar itself, depending on the exchange rate, is $20,000.
Oh, okay.
Plus airfare.
That include airfare, hotel, to stay there, the seminar and everything.
Yeah.
And you feed them too, because I saw the butler going around.
Yeah, we feed them. Young kids eat a lot more. Normally, you gain, in a week, you gain 5 pounds when you're there.
Yeah.
It's like some of the kids, I don't believe, eat regular. I know that's not true, but it's when you're having caviar and champagne and stuff that you would normally eat, and it's free.
Yeah.
I mean, they suck it up.
Yeah. It's like going on a cruise.
Oh, yeah. That's very similar, except it's better than that.
Yeah. Can you tell when people, men and women, are intimidated by you?
Oh, yeah.
How can you tell?
Well, normally that there's no intellectual discourse. There's no conversation. But that's not what I'm there for.
Right.
What I'm there for is to get them out of their comfort zone. For example, if they were in a room with Warren Buffett or Bill Gates, are you going to just sit there with your thumb up your butt, or are you going to say something? You know, and they need to be able to speak their piece. And even though I get a lot of dumb questions, they're allowed to interface with me for the whole week.
Yeah.
And my wife, who's also there, and the staff, and sometimes they'll ask my wife or one of the staff, is Mr. Penn, you really like this all the time?
Yeah.
And they'll hear me up in one of the wings where our bedroom is, me screaming at somebody on the phone. And so my wife will say, hear that? Does that sound like he's screaming at whoever that is on the phone, just like he screams at you down in the seminar room?
That's amazing.
Because when I tell you I'm going to do something for you, short of death or a coma, I do it.
That's right.
If the bank is asking you for the financials for the board, you fucked up. You went in with your hat in your hand selling pencils. Well, if this kid is the mouthpiece of this group and he's that weak, like a fucking cunt, we want to see the financials of the board. That's the only time they ask that. And you will never repair that relationship with that bank. So you might as well just walk out with the tail between your legs and jump in front of a bus, metaphorically speaking. And you can't rearrange in the mind of a first impression, either with a potential board member, an accountant, a law firm, or a bank. In the back of their mind, you're always a weak cunt.
You call yourself the $50 billion man.
Correct.
Why do you call yourself
because
that?
Because I've created more than $50 billion with regular folks.
Yeah.
Mentees go out and make $10 million, $100 million, $1 billion. So $50 billion.
So could you take the people in this room and create $50 billion people?
I'd start off with maybe $50 a person, and then we work up. Yeah, we have a 17-year-old who's one of my current superstars. Came to me 17. He's now 21. He flies around in his own jet. His name's Josh Kim. He's on the internet. He's got a cult following. We've got other kids that make $1 million a year. We got a mechanic who came to me with grease under his fingernails from Topeka, Kansas. He's driving around in his own, he's not driving, flying around in his own jet plane.
You have a jet?
No.
You fly
commercial.
Regular. Oh, you do?
Occasionally
commercial. Why don't you have a jet?
Because I don't know how you justify a jet plane. I used to have three.
Oh, you did?
Okay, yeah. And they were, I buy your company, you had a jet plane, I keep it for 6 months, see if I liked it, and let my kids fly around in it, and then I'd get rid of it. But it's tough to justify between $10,000 and $25,000 an hour to operate a plane.
I know what you mean.
Yeah, yeah.
No, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't believe that racism exists. I believe that that's a made-up word, and that there's no such thing as racism, sexism, homophobia, Islamophobia, or Debbie Dad ism or white supremacism. I think our battle is a spiritual battle. I know our battle is a spiritual battle, warfare between good and evil. And it doesn't matter what color you are, where you live, or what. Do you disagree with that?
No. I refine it a little. I don't see color.
Yeah.
When I look at an audience, all I see, and I call everybody a meathead, whether you're 180 IQ or 80 IQ.
Yeah.
Okay? But, I mean, I don't see color. I don't see gender. I do see, if you're a cross-dresser, and, I mean...
I was going to ask if you see transgender.
No. But I see that. I see that. And I'm not against that, but it's disruptive to the audience.
Yeah.
It's disruptive to the group.
Yeah.
If you can be that and not disrupt my goddamn audience, then Allah be with you. But it always disrupts.
Yeah, you're done.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So you come, you know, if you got to figure out which bathroom to go into, I'm the wrong guy.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm the wrong guy. But I do believe in good. I do believe in evil.
So do you believe racism?
I fall asleep saying my prayers.
Yeah, me too.
Just like I did when I was 5 years old.
Same here.
And there's a lot of evil in the world.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Do you believe racism exists?
I think it's just people. It's not so much race.
Me too.
It's bad people.
Yes.
But there's still a lot of it.
Yeah.
There's still a lot of it.
I also believe that black people are suffering, those who are suffering, not all, but most, they are suffering not due to this phony idea of racism, but the lack of moral character and the destruction of the family. Because when I was growing up, we had family. Grandparents around, parents around, everybody. And we all work. I've been working since day one. Now they don't do that, and the family is destroyed. And so I believe that blacks who are suffering are doing it because of the lack of family and no moral character. What do you think?
I agree, 100%. Lack of moral fiber.
Yeah, absolutely. I got to ask you about the Great White Hope. You know who that is?
I believe you mean President Trump.
Right on the money. I call him the Great White Hope. You remind me of him somewhat.
Full disclosure, I knew President Trump 25 years ago.
Oh, you did?
He and I, we didn't hang in the same circles, but we used the same law firm. One of my former business partners was the former governor of New York, Hugh Carey, who was a partner in the law firm, same law firm that the president used.
And yeah.
But the last time I saw President Trump was 1993 at the grand opening of the MGM Hotel in Las Vegas.
So have you ever, ran into him at a meeting or something like that?
Oh, yeah.
And so were you both, talk with each other? Hey, man, how are you?
Yeah, well, he is 10 times tougher than he comes across on TV.
Oh, yeah?
At least maybe 100 times.
Wow.
I mean, he is a ball-busting, hold you accountable.
Yes.
If you tell him that you're going to be on the moon by next week, you better be on the bloody moon next week.
Yes.
And so, I mean, he doesn't take any excuses.
That's amazing. I like him for that, too. That's why I think we're fortunate to have him as president. You didn't vote for him because you're not a citizen.
No, I'm still a citizen.
Did you vote for him?
No, I didn't.
Why not?
Because I wasn't registered to vote. I am now registered to vote.
Oh.
But in late 2015, early 2016, I said if Donald Trump is serious about being president, he's going to win in a landslide.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
And and if he can keep from getting impeached, he's going to win in another landslide.
Yes.
This next time around.
They definitely want him out, man. They hate him because he's a man.
He has changed the way you build wealth forevermore. We're now undergoing the greatest transformation of wealth in the history of the world.
Yes.
Interest rates are the lowest they've been in 5,000 years. He's done away with 70-80% of all the bureaucratic crap that you have to do to file for papers and get money, etc. He's done a darn good job.
White people, and especially white, straight, conservative Christian men, are the most hated people by the people of color on this side of heaven. Why are white people so hated when they're the one really built the greatest societies on this planet? America, Europe, but they're the most hated. Why is that?
Well, I believe it's primarily because of the liberal news media. For example, 4 or 5 months ago, there was a viral thing, didn't even go viral. A black school teacher, I believe in Alabama, who beat a white student. He deserved a beating.
Yes.
Okay. She hit him with a mop about 6-8 times upside the head, okay? And It wasn't on one news station, okay? Now, if that had been a white teacher hitting a black kid, okay, I'm not saying that there's not a lot of bad things that happen.
But you're absolutely right about that.
Yeah, but I mean, they hush it up.
Why are white people so hated? I need to understand that.
Well, I mean, because, again, I believe it's the easiest thing for the liberal news media to get a hold of and to get a rise out of to hate, you know, they're making fun of white, gray-haired, wrinkled old men on boards of directors who run the companies of the world, which is a lot of truth in that, and they're bringing more and more women in. But, I mean, they had capable women 50 years ago, okay?
Yeah.
But now they've got even more capable women in the last 10 or 20 years.
Well, they're bringing on a lot of destruction. They're destroying these companies. I just saw Gillette, the best a man can get, right?
Yep.
And they're attacking men. They're attacking, they call them misogynists. Something like that. Something crazy. But why are they attacking their own?
Because they have to get ratings. And the best way to get ratings is to stir the pot of crap.
Yeah.
Now, a statistic for you. In 1986, the average strength of a man's handshake was 116 pounds per square inch. In 2016, the average handshake of a man is 96 pounds. The average handshake of a woman in 1986 was 94 pounds. The average handshake of a woman in 2016 is 108 pounds.
That's amazing.
Okay. Testosterone levels are going down in men.
Yeah, they shake hands like this now.
Correct. Correct.
I've got to ask you, what is love?
Love is, for me, love is doing what I want to do when I want to do it and enjoying it and being happy. Love for a significant other is having that same person in your life, enjoying the same things you do.
And could you turn anyone into an entrepreneur who want to be one?
Yes.
You can turn them
into one.
Absolute,
100%.
And you get them step by step.
If they don't give up.
Right.
They don't give up.
If they don't give up. And my final question, Dan.
Yes, sir.
Did you have fun?
Yes. I've enjoyed it. It's not misleading. Fallen, you know, you're...
Yeah, the fallen state.
Yeah, yeah. And the... I try to think about all the permutations, what that could mean, and but no, it's been very enjoyable, and I wish you well, and I hope a lot of people view this and come under your fold.
Thank you. Do you believe human beings are in a fallen state?
Oh, I think the world is.
Yes, absolutely.
The world. The
and
world.
They can overcome it, but they're in a fallen
state.
Yeah,
yeah, we're in the shits, I mean, unfortunately.
I wanted to ask you about that. Now you made me ask one more question.
Okay.
You curse a lot on your video.
Yes, sir. Why do I do it?
Yes.
It's effective.
Cursing is?
Yes, sir.
Oh. In what way?
Because they never forget what I say.
That's for sure.
They never forget what I say.
That's for sure.
Yeah. By the way, I've worked with priests, rabbis, ministers, nuns. I used to be partners with the Vatican. Okay. And they all, the Israeli government, all kind of government. And the one thing that they always remember is the F-bombs, okay? You know, and I learned that from the military because my first career, I was an Army officer.
Dan, thank you for coming
on. It's my pleasure.
I really enjoyed that.
I enjoyed it very much.
I did too.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, buddy. And thank you all for tuning in. Don't forget to like, follow, tweet, subscribe, share, donate. We have all type of material online there that you can buy, shirts and coffee mugs and all that stuff. And it goes back into making this show work. So thank you for it and let me hear from you.
What does it say on there?
Vagisil medicated.
This is your vagina cream because you're all vaginas. You're cunts. And when I say cunts, I mean you're cowards. Goodbye, YouTube.
Next time on The Fallen State.
You are a gamer, right?
Sometimes, yeah.
That's amazing.
Thanks.
You're never going to get a woman playing games.
Aren't you still not married?
Well, if I find one, I'll let them know to knock on your door.
Any woman that you would find, I don't think I would want at my door, Jesse.
Do you guys know each other?
I think we've talked before briefly.
Yeah, I think briefly on someone's stream.
Oh, yeah? You like him?
Not really, no.
Let's get into the debates about guns and the Second Amendment. What's your stance on gun control? for watching The Fallen State. We need your continued support. Donate to my nonprofit here. Subscribe and like the videos here. And tell everybody and their mama about the show.